In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, we're going to look at the liturgy for Holy Thursday. We're going to look mostly at the readings, of course. The first thing we're going to look at is, again, some reflections on liturgy. And then move on from there. The Church reserves these readings for every Holy Thursday. We call it the Sacrum Triduum, the Holy 3 Days, but since Holy Thursday has been put in to preface Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's really not a Holy 3 Days, it's a Holy 4 Days now. But this was the one that opens it up for us, and it has to do with the Eucharist, with the liturgy, which the Lord leaves us as a prominent and permanent presence among us. And so, I've read this text for you before, but it's very important. This is Pope St. Leo, Leo the Great, who was a liturgical mystic. They're rare. I don't know why. St. Gertrude was another. Anyway, this is what Pope Leo said. All those things which the Son of God both did and taught for the reconciliation of the world, we not only know in the account of things now past, but we also experience in the power of works which are present. And that includes the reading of Scripture. Experience these realities. Now, part of that work is that the liturgy be celebrated reverently and well. And the key to that is music. And that's one of the things we should pray for. You see, the ancient liturgies, the people and the priests sang the parts of the Mass. Nowadays, the priest says Mass and the people sing songs. We have to get them together so that our hearts are raised in this sacred action, which is the source, the Eucharistic celebration, that the Council says, is the source and summit of the Christian life. Source and summit. And so, we experience in the power of works which are present in the reading of the Scriptures and in the sacramental Eucharistic liturgy. Now, in the document, Sacro Sanctum Concilium, which is about the liturgy, and you may recall, depending on how old you are, that the very first document that the Council dealt with was liturgy, because it's the heart of how people gather around and are fed and touched by Jesus Christ, the Lord Himself, as we pray to the Father. And so, I'm going to just read some lines here from that Sacro Sanctum Concilium. So this is number 2. For it is the liturgy through which, especially in the divine sacrifice of the Eucharist, that the work of our redemption is accomplished. And it is through the liturgy especially that the faithful are enabled to express in their lives and manifest to others the mystery of Christ and the real nature of the Church. The real nature of the Church. You want to know what the Church is all about? A good theology of the Church? Look at heaven. That's where the church is itself. Gathered around the Trinity, the Father on the throne, with Jesus, the very verbum divinum, the very divine word himself, leading all his brothers and sisters in praise and song and love. That's where the liturgy is finally itself. Okay? Now the text goes on to say, the liturgy daily builds up those who are in the church, making of them a holy temple of the Lord, a dwelling place for God and the Spirit, to the mature measure of the fullness of Christ. At the same time, it marvelously increases their power to preach Christ, and thus show forth the church, a sign lifted up among the nations, like Jesus. If I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent on the staff, so will the Son of Man be lifted up. So is the church lifted up. You see? And it's a sign among the nations to those who are outside, a sign under which the scattered children of God may be gathered together until there is one fold and one shepherd. You see? Now, the text goes on. This is number 7 of that same council document. To accomplish so great a work, Christ is always present in his church, especially in her liturgical celebrations. He is present on the sacrifice of the Mass, not only in the person of his minister, who is offering now the same, he is Jesus, through the ministry of priest, he is the one who formerly offered himself on the cross, but most especially he is present in the Eucharistic species. By his power, he is present in the sacraments, so that when anybody baptizes, it is really Christ himself who baptizes. Augustine is very strong on this, because there was a dispute in his day when some of the people were false, denied their faith in persecution, and then repented and wanted to come back. And a group said, if you come back, you've got to be baptized again. And that one didn't take, or you ruined it. But Augustine said, knowing the tradition of the church, no. Because it's Christ who baptizes. That person is still baptized. They have to repent. They have to return. There have to be a ceremony of reconciliation back to the church, but not a rebaptism. If Christ baptizes, it never has to be done again. That's when someone from one of the Protestant churches wants to join the Catholic Church, I call up the person who baptized them in whatever Protestant congregation they were in, and ask, did you baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Yes. Well, then they're baptized. And I don't baptize them again. Okay. So, he's talking about present in the sacrament, and then he says, this text says, he is present in his word, since it is he himself who speaks when the Holy Scriptures are read in the church. This is said again by the Pope in this latest document, Verbum Domini, same thing. It's Christ who preaches his word. It's Christ who reads his word. That's why it has to be done well and listened to. And lastly, he is present when the church prays and sings. For he has promised, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So when we're at the Mass and we're singing and praising God, deeply in us, that's the work of the Christ, praising his Father as he does in heaven. And that's why this liturgical Eucharistic celebration is called by the Church the source, and the summit of the Christian life. Now you can see that we have only begun to scratch the surface of what we have to do to make every liturgical celebration, every Eucharistic celebration, a real manifestation of that reality. That it is Christ worshiping the Father in and us. It is Christ preaching His Word. You see? It is Christ praying in us. He is present wherever two or three are gathered in His name. That's why it's so important, you see. I'm just going to read some more from that document. The liturgy, then, is rightly seen as an exercise of the priestly office of Jesus Christ. Not just the priest who is the priestly office. In a special way, he is. All together. It involves the presentation of man's sanctification under thus guise, is not a good word, of signs perceptible by the senses and its accomplishment in ways appropriate to each of these signs. In it, full public worship is performed by the mystical body of Jesus Christ, that is, by the head and the members. It is Christ in us still worshiping the Father, gathering us to hear His Word, to be sanctified by His Word. And then to recall, as He told us to do, in memory of Him. And so we have this prayer to the Father, in the middle of which we just repeat the very words of Christ, and this bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ. They are present, surrounded by angels. At every liturgy, hundreds, thousands of angels. They're pure spirits, they don't take up any room. And there they are, at every liturgy, joining us, leading us. When you're there, and you're, you know, tired or distracted, or the kids are making noise or whatever, listen. Talk to the angels. Come and help me enter into your prayer, your praise, your love, your awe, that I'm here now, and for a little while, I'm very close to heaven, because the heavenly court is present here in this liturgy. I remember once, somebody was talking, baptism in the Spirit. Religious experience. I never had any. You don't need a religious experience. Blah, 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 like that. I said, you never had a religious experience at all? I remember once. I was about 20-something, and I saw the whole church all of a sudden filled with light, and I saw angels all around. I said, and you never had a religious experience? I mean, that's explaining to you what the liturgy's all about. He said, yeah, I guess you're right. So, we can even forget these things. That's how dumb we are. Okay. So, I'm just going to finish with these lines. From this it follows that every liturgical celebration, because it is an action of Christ the priest and of His body, which is the church, is a sacred action surpassing all others. All our preaching, all our social work, all our important, and the work of Christ. But it flows from this act of love in which Christ died, which is the very living, dynamic source. Christ fixed in the act of love in which He died, present to us and in us. It all flows from there. No other action of the Church can equal its efficacy by the same title and to the same degree. That's why, as we begin now to think about Holy Thursday, you see, it's one of the principal liturgical actions of the whole year when we recall the institution of the Eucharist.